Are you ready? Welcome to Radio Grognard King Size, the OSR podcast with more stuff, with your host, Glenn Hallstrom.
Hiya, folks. Old Man Grognard here. Hope you're all doing well. It's a nice day. Okay, there's 80, then there's 20. It's the
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rule. We'll talk about that in a minute. All right. The I recently watched a video on artwork, actually, I believe it was. And one he gave it said, this one thing will help you in your artwork. Maybe learn a little faster. It's the Pareto principle or the 80-20 rule. And you can apply this to anything, including role-playing games. The theory is for 20% of your finished product, you put in 80% of the work. In other words, you're putting in 100%, but only 20% of it is going to be what you want. The other 80% is getting there, the practice, the whatever you're doing. That's why they always say with artists should always be drawing, or writers should be writing, or whatever, because You're just putting the time in, not really putting the time in, but you're putting the practice in to do what you want. You will have better results if you have more experience and more practice. But you got to understand that that's the way it goes. That's why artists have sketchbooks. That's why writers have journals and other things like that. And role-playing ain't no different. As a GM, you prep. And prep and prep and prep. And this is one of the things that I'm supporting is the 80-20 rule, because there's a method to that madness. There's a routine that you can get into. I know there's a lot of GMs out there to write about their campaign world, even if nobody ever sees it, even the players never see it. You can be obsessed over that, just like any player could be obsessed over the character's backstory. But the point is, if you're going to write all that, you might as well write it, have a realistic idea of what you're going to use. And what I'm trying to say is, say you have an adventure and you write it out, and it's part of your world, and you've got parts of your world that they may or may not know about. And you do the adventure, and you overwrite. A lot of people overwrite. I mean, there are people who go, oh, I gotta be careful. I gotta be able to allow for any possibility. You can't. You can't, because players can come up with things that you wouldn't even dream of thinking. So you can get close. That's what I'm saying. You can think about two or three things that they might try, the most obvious things, and then I'd leave it at that. But you're prepping. And maybe you got a few scenes that you don't need. Maybe you make it so intricate that, like, oh gosh, you're gonna kill yourself trying to run it at the table. So use the 80-20 rule. Look at what first of all, I'm assuming you have time to do this, like maybe a week or a couple of days or something like this. Prep it, write it and prep it however you want. as much as you want. Put it away. After you're finished, put it away, put it in a drawer, put it out of sight, out of mind. The next day, take it out and look at it. And see if you can't get rid of 80% of it. You can go through things like, okay, I don't need this scene if I have this here. Do I have to make that more, you know, I have to clarify something? Well, why don't I just add a little to this scene instead of having a whole big scene about that? Okay, this area here isn't really all that developed and it's not really necessary, so get rid of this NPC. Why is he even here? You know, so yeah, I can combine the info that I want to give them or the interaction I want with them for this NPC for the, instead of these two. You know, that's basically how it does it. And what you have left should be pretty tight. I mean, as tight as you can make it before it goes to the table. You know, it may go feet up by the time you get to, when you get to the table, but hey, you got something here and present it to the players and see what happens. That's all you can do. Present it to the players and let them run amok. See, I also love plot hooks. What I like about plot hooks is because it's a problem. It's a problem posed by the GM, and the players get to solve it. That goes for any adventure. I mean, like I said, I don't like calling them plots. I don't like to prep plots. I like to prep situations. Because, you know, think about it. In your daily life, you're going to come up with situations you got to figure out. For instance, I need to get some insurance cards for our car. Cars. We got to, you know, mine and my grandson Gage. And I have to get a hold of Allstate and see if we can get those cards. And I have a little problem because I don't think that I'm on the record and all this other stuff. But basically what I'm saying is it's a situation that you, as a person, have to solve. This is the way that these adventures should be written. Now, you can do, if they do this, this happens. If they do that, that happens. I mean, there are other situations that, you know, you present them with the problem and they've got to figure it out. And you don't want to make it too hard. That's what I'm saying. You don't want to what you're trying to avoid is adventure choke points. I think Sly Ferushka. Yeah, adventure choke points, which is one of which I mean is, if they don't solve this or they don't take care of this problem, the story can't move forward. Never do that. Never do that. Always find an out for them. I mean, you don't have to present it to them. Let them go. Okay, this is a situation. What do you guys do? Let them figure it out. They may come up with the answer. They may come up with something you don't even know about. But the point is, they are coming up with something. They're not just sitting around and going, I don't know what to do. I don't understand this at all. So you have to, you know, if they do this, this happens, blah, 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 blah. But it can't be, if they don't solve this, the adventure can't go forward. I think I've told this story before on the podcast that I was in quite a while ago, we were playing 2E, and I was in a Night Below campaign. And our cleric did something rather foolish to the Temple of Slimes, Molds, and Jellies. And he tried to disfigure it. It was against his principles. It was evil, so he wanted to disgrace it or whatever, and he tries to pour holy water on there, and slimes, molds, and jellies start being created by this temple, by the gods, and we beat feet out of there. I was playing the paladin, and I grabbed him, we beat feet out of there, out of the whole dungeon, and so, like, then we have to, it's like, all right, we have to go back. Well, according to the scenario, the adventure, the temple keeps producing slimes, molds, and jellies. And every time we go back, it says, oh, well, this area is choked with slimes, molds, and jellies. We go back to all that area. And the GM was like, you guys just, I don't know what to, he kept throwing up his hands. I don't know what to do because there's no way you can go in there because pretty soon it's going to come out the entrance. And it's like, dude, come on. You just GM'd yourself into a corner. I mean, yes, players are going to do this, and yes, they hoist themselves by their own petard, and yes, they're the blood, you know, they have to suffer the consequences, but you can't let it grind the game to a halt. So never have choke points like that. I'm sure if I was running, I don't want to, here you go, bragging again. I don't want to say this, but if I was GMing it, there would have been some other way to do this. I would have figured out something, maybe presented to the players, maybe they come up with something else, but let them try, you know. And I'm saying, don't do that to your scenario. So do the 80-20 rule, 80%, see what you can take away and leave 20%. What you have will be golden. And don't, and you know, the choke points, remember, don't have those. Anyway, all right, I got to go start my day. So if you guys want to talk to me about this or anything else, oldmangrognard@gmail.com or drop me a voicemail on Spotify for Podcasters. And, single donations. We got the Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/oldmangrognard or my PayPal tip jar, paypal.me/oldmangrognard. Let me thank these people who do give to me monthly. Juan Carlos Llewellyn, Gilbert Sars, and Benjamin Brodell. Thank you, guys. It's appreciated. For other good podcasts, Dan Griggs, the Jung, Y-U-N-G, Jung Grognard podcast, Kevin at the Red Caps podcast, Daniel Norton's Bandits Keep podcast, which is also on YouTube, Randy and Joe's Biggest Geekest podcast, Big John Allen Large's The Red Dice Diaries, and my friend Eric Kinkar's Tavern Chat. So, until I see you folks next time, keep the dice warm, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You got questions? You got comments? Send them to oldmangrognard@gmail.com. Tune in next time when Radio Grognard King Size is on the air.